The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" No one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Lutherans have particular lingo within our circles. One such phrase that we've been taught since confirmation is law and gospel. God shows sinners their sin with his law, but he shows them their Savior with the gospel. But why would God give his law if it didn't save? If all it did was accuse and condemn sinners, wouldn't it be better to live in the ignorance of our sin? Wouldn't the phrase "ignorance is bliss" be applicable here? I found myself thinking this before, that God giving his law made him a dictator God, not a God of love. And if God didn't give the law, then life would be so much easier, because then there wouldn't be so many rules to live by, and I could just do whatever I want. That way I didn't really need to listen to God's law. But thinking about God's law this way leads to antinomianism, which means against the law. Antinomianism suggests that God's commandments are insignificant for the Christian life because there's forgiveness. So we can keep on sinning and Jesus can just keep on forgiving. I love sinning and Jesus loves forgiving, so it seems pretty great. Never mind true repentance, where I actually feel sorrow about my sin and how it's affected my neighbor. Never mind true repentance, where I don't want to sin against my neighbor anymore, but I'd rather love them. Antinomianism warmly embraces sin and rejects the gospel's ability to change hearts. Then there's the opposite attitude of antinomianism, which is called legalism. Legalists believe in the outward obedience to God's law, and by this outward obedience, a person can achieve salvation. Legalists see salvation as a prize, not as a gift. Something earned, not given. Both of these understandings of God's law are flawed. They both lack love. Without an understanding of God giving his law out of his love for us, then we don't understand the law at all. In the gospel lesson, Jesus correctly identifies love as the center of the commandments. The Pharisees, who have a legalist understanding of the law and its role in salvation, they tried to test Jesus, asking him the question, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, they had a specific answer in mind, despite the 613 Old Testament laws to choose from. But Jesus satisfied their question with the correct answer. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." This was the answer the Pharisees were looking for. So where's the rub? Everyone agrees on the greatest two laws, so why are the Pharisees legalists? Well, quite simply, because for them, God's law is a matter of doing and not doing, not necessarily a matter of love. Martin Luther has an illustration in his sermon on this text, which describes it well. He says, in Genesis 22, God commands Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. But Abraham knew God's earlier promises of multiplying Abraham's offspring. So instead of saying God's command to sacrifice Isaac was a foolish, unbearable commandment, and that he couldn't do it, what did Abraham do? He closed his senses. He took his own reason captive to God's command, and he obeys the voice of God. He does what God told him. He took his only son Isaac to be sacrificed. But before anything could happen, God provided a substitute. He substituted Isaac with a ram. And what was the purpose of God's command to Abraham? It was an opportunity for Abraham to prove that he obeyed God from his heart. Because he loved God and knew God's promises. And God was pleased that Abraham's actions came from his heart, which loved God. That's what obeying God's commandment with our whole heart, out of love, looks like. And then you have the Jews, who after being influenced by child sacrifice from surrounding pagan countries, saw it fit to sacrifice their children to God, hoping to perform a well-pleasing service to God. They concluded, well, the service of Abraham sacrificing his son was well-pleasing to God, therefore God will be satisfied if we do it too. God's prophets even spoke out against this injustice and false understanding, but to no avail. They killed many innocent children. Why was this service displeasing to God? For the reason that their actions didn't come from a loving heart towards God, but they simply looked at the service itself and figured it would please him. Without his word, without his command, without his promise. So the point in all this is to show that by Abraham's action, he proved to love God with his whole heart. There must be first love in the heart, and then our works of service that follow will please God. The Pharisees certainly knew the role of love toward God and neighbor and its place in the law, but their actions spoke differently. And I guess in that way, we aren't much different. We know God's law, but rarely accomplish it out of love for God. That's proving we cannot make ourselves love God and our neighbor with our whole heart. Because if we did truly love God with our whole heart, we'd follow his commandments. But then, we come to the mirror function of the law. When we look in the mirror of God's law, what we are is reflected back to us. We see that we're sinners. We see that we fall short of God's law. Time after time, we demonstrate that we don't love God with our whole heart or our neighbor as ourselves. And that's why God gave the law, so that we would be conscious of our sin. I know this sounds doom and gloom. It's depressing to come to realize that we don't love God nearly as much as we think. But God gave us his commandments because he loves us. Not because he's mean or hates us. We usually hear God's love associated with his son, Jesus Christ. But hardly ever with the law and commandments. But yes, God gave his law out of love. For if I have no sense of my sins, I would never need Jesus. If I didn't know my sins, I wouldn't search for a Savior. And now that I am aware of my sin through the law, it is necessary to know who Christ is. Otherwise, the knowledge of my sin would profit me nothing. And who is Christ? Who is the Messiah? This is the same question Jesus asked the Pharisees. He asked them, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Of course, they knew the answer. They said that the Christ, the Messiah, is the son of David. That this Messiah would come from the royal line of kings. But the Pharisees didn't necessarily understand who this Messiah was supposed to be. Jesus exposed their misunderstanding by asking how David then, in the Psalms, calls the Messiah his Lord. But the Pharisees couldn't answer that question because they didn't know that the Messiah was to be the Lord. And that this Messiah God is in the flesh, speaking to them. Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one of old. He is the king who willingly submits himself to live under his law and fulfills all its requirements. And then, as good kings do, he cares for his people by giving them himself. Because only through Christ's life, death, and resurrection is a fulfillment of the law's requirements able to come to us. He's the one who brings forgiveness of sins against the law. And he's the one who brings obedience to the law. Jesus accomplished the entirety of the law without fault. He loved God with his whole heart and his neighbor as himself. He submitted to the Father's will in every respect, even going to the cross for it. The Father requires us to fulfill the law too. But we don't. Yet Jesus has, and the Father accepts him. And he truly acts in love to you because he offers his fulfillment of the entirety of the law to you. Jesus says to you, "Come to me. Take me. Cling to me by faith. Then you shall rid the law of its accusations against you. And then he comes to you through his Holy Spirit and lives in and through you by faith. On our own, we can't fulfill the law. Left to ourselves, God's law judges us. But because of Christ and what he's done, we're declared innocent. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is God in us who can change our hearts, thoughts, and minds and desires. There's no amount of work that you can do. No amount of work you can do. No amount of meditation and willpower that you can exert to make yourself truly loving towards God and neighbor. Luther nails it in the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. In a small catechism, he says, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus makes a home in us. And the Holy Spirit can make a whole new man out of you. And this new man in you is Christ. And this new man despises the present life of disobedience and sin, and rejoices in and submits to the will of God. That's what it means to put love at the heart and center of the law. So repent. Turn from your sin. Turn from misunderstandings of the law, either legalism or antinomianism, and flee to Christ and cling to him. He fulfills the law in your place and lives out the love of God and neighbor through you. He creates in you a clean heart and renews you with a willing spirit. He is the founder and perfecter of faith, a faith centered around Jesus. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.